Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I can hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, let you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together as we lift his name up and give him the glory and the honor that is due unto his wonderful name. I'm so glad that you joined us on today. I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be tremendously blessed. We're going to be talking about the power of the repentant man and talking about the relevancy of repentance. And as we forge forward into the lesson on today, I pray you open your heart and receive all of the wonderful principles of God and the lessons from this particular lesson on today. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for all that you've done and given unto us as the people of God. And we come humbly but yet boldly. We take this time to bind the forces of darkness, the emissaries of the adversary, and say, Lord, have thine own way. And we'll praise and bless your wonderful name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So thank you very much for joining me and come right on in and make yourself right at home. I'm going to be talking about a repentant man or woman or boy or a girl. And I'm going to be looking at Psalms chapter number 51, verses 1 to verse number 15. And the focus thought is going to be on repentance is changing the mind and the heart with regards to sin. And this is necessary for one to develop a right relationship with the Lord and even to enter into the kingdom of God. Let's take a look at this. Psalms chapter number 51, verses 1 through 15, and it reads on this line, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sins are ever before thee. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou didst trust truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to know joy and gladness, that my bones, which thou hast broken, may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from my presence, from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, and thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall thy sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. So far, the reading of the scripture, we're going to be talking about the prayer of repentance and the prayer of confession and the prayer and personal petition. Let's take a look at the prayer for restoration. Repentance is not what God requires of us as we become because he has made the rule. Rather, it is a description of the road back home. Now, an individual who comes to God sometimes hurries through repentance with the blanket request, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. But we need to, a person needs to deal with specifics and not just generality. David wrote Psalms 51 out of the anguish of remorse for his crime against God and his fellow man. It did not come about from a 15-minute altar service or five people there encouraging them and things, but they began to, David wanted to be right before the Lord, and he began to tell God about what he has done and ask of God to blot out his iniquities. People repent for two reasons. Let's take a look at that. First, many people repent because of fear. They fear being separated eternally from God, and they want to escape the terror of eternal punishment. They repent out of a desperation and the dread of God's wrath. And secondly, motivating factor of repenting encompasses what happened to David and why he was motivated, and as we reflect on that particular psalm, he desired to be right because of his love for God. And I like to say the latter of the two is so important for us as the children of God, a desire to be right with God, super exceed just being fearful of the wrath to come, of God's wrath that which come. And so he will want us to have a desire to repent because of our desire to be right before God. Love generates within David a deeper and a longer lasting change of heart. He recognized that he had lost his relationship with the Almighty God, who was called a man after God's own heart. And you see that over in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. A felt the wrong, gloomed, and fears. He suffered the tragic loss of intimacy with the loving God that he offended. When he recognized that, he wanted to get right with God. Now, neither does hasty repentance satisfy the demand of God. Repentance motivated by fear rushes through the job, but repentance motivated by love for God and passion to know him is a thorough and long-lasting. And that's because it comes out of a place of a desire from the heart and the passion of wanting to be the man and the woman of God that God has called us out to be. Personal holiness also must be founded upon the same love motivation to be effective. Some individuals live holy life out of fear of an angering God. Now, these terror-motivated people soon quit the battle of goodness or become hypocrites. Long-term holiness grows in the lives of people who love God and want to please him for the rest of their life, not because of a threat, dreadful fear and things, but because a love, and they want to stay in constant fellowship and in a good relationship with the Lord our God. They want to be like him. Genuine repentance flows into authentic holiness. And so that is so profound for us to know that true repentance is going to flow into an authentic relationship with the Lord our God as we strive to be the man and woman of God that God called us out to be. Now, let's look further. Have mercy upon me is what David began to plead unto God. He was saying, Lord, have mercy. And a plea of mercy is a confession of guilt. We should begin our prayer with reminding God of his mercy and goodness. David did not begin his prayer by talking about his sins or even his need. He appealed to God's loving kindness. And this is not just a persuasive rhetoric. He recognized that the Holy One as being greater than his ability and inhabitations. David did not stop after pointing out God's mercy and loving kindness. He did not even settle for pointing out God's heart of love. He addressed the very nature of God that grieved over the failing of his children. He reminded God of his nature, and then he called God to record that he had been moved with deep compassion for the needs of mankind throughout history. David, in effect, said, God, there are volumes of evidence that you do this. You forgive immensely and deep and keep in the vast ocean of your goodness. I request you to do the same for me. And so in essence, he was saying, Lord, please have mercy, or Lord, do not pass me by. While art others are calling, Lord, don't pass me by. I need your mercy, and I need you to help me today. Not only did David cry out for the mercies of God, he went a little further and began to say, Lord, wash me thoroughly. Now, let's take a look at this. David didn't just say, wash me, but he said, Lord, I give you permission to wash me thoroughly. And let's take a look at that when he began to say, David said, wash me, God, and then wash me again and keep washing and scrubbing until there is not even a hint or a taint of sin. This kind of washing would be like a person applying a spot remover over and over until the carpet is like new and fresh again. And David stained his life deeply and desired desperately for God to cleanse him. This kind of desire will allow God to do whatever is necessary to thoroughly make us like him. Now, to still illustrate this kind of repentance, let us look at someone asking for God's mercy over the sin of stealing. A quick and hasty level of repentance might say, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have stolen that. Such prayer might initiate God's forgiveness, but it is a shallow experience of repentance. Now, the deep repentance might sound more like this. God, I'm a thief. Wash and cleanse me of this wickedness. Purge me of all desire to take something from someone else that doesn't belong to me. Lord, remember the first time I saw this behavior and eliminate it. I saw lust and I chose it. I act on it in my impulse. God, forgive me for this moment. And I remember thy squeaky and sick feeling of getting away with something without being caught. And when I wrong that person, I wronged you. And I'm sorry. Forgive me for this foolishness. And Jesus, I didn't want you to ever revisit and don't want to revisit this behavior again. I give up that life and I turn away from it, Lord. Teach me to give and not to take. And so that is an example of a person who is taking their sin and saying, God, not only did I do it, but I want you to take it from me. I want you to wash me from it. I want you to thoroughly and cleanse me and purge that out of my life and give me and replace with me a behavior that is going to be pleasing unto you. And we're stripping down even cars and things, they strip it all the way down. It's a process, and it goes all the way down unto the very fiber of that metal to cleanse it and to wash it. And such as it is when we repent and crying out and confessing to be washed thoroughly, we're saying, God, I need you to wash me thoroughly from this thing. Now, we must consider the magnitude of David's evil, the deception that he did, the lust and idolatry, murder, and teaching others to sin by his example. We all have taken similar journeys down the path towards destruction, but God wants to lead us back to the pathway of abundant life through his Spirit. And one of the things that I like that God has given me so divinely was called divine touch, and I use it to bless God's people, that God can wash me and thoroughly wash the individual through divinely touching them and cleansing and healing them. Now, further, people often are alarmed at the justice that they crime demand, and in the shock, they say, whoa, I am going to take, you know, whatever time that it takes for me to get this thing right. Now, repentance, however, does not carry with it the twangs of ventralization, but repentance is not just a remorse from the conscience and the consequences of sin, but the sorrow for the fact that one has disappointed the holy God. Repentance is not just a depressing, laden, guilt-vested individual, but it is one that have a godly sorrow, that down deep within the resource of their heart, that they are remorse and sorry about they even the act of such a behavior or a thing that have taken place in their life. And they're saying, for godly repentance, worketh repentance to salvation, not to the repentance of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. 2 Corinthians 7:10 states that. And so here, that godly sorrow it worketh repentance through salvation. And when you look at the word salvation, it actually means to deliverance. And so here, godly sorrow worketh salvation unto you getting delivered from that individual thing or that act or that behavior, and God literally replacing it with one of his principles, characteristics, or values in your life. Now, let's look further. David said, I acknowledge my transgression. Not only a bold desire to improve can say I'm wrong, usually people evade the obvious. They may say, God, if I've sinned, or Lord, if I've done anything wrong. And David said, no, he acknowledged his sin. And that's what we, in order to be effective and to be the men and women of God that God calls us out to be effectively in right relationship with God, we must acknowledge before the Lord our God what we have done and allow him to wash us thoroughly and cleanse us. And until then, that's when we will be able to experience the true washing of his word and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus in our lives, that he can cleanse our conscience from dead works, that we may serve the living God and things. It's important to remit. We tend to desire to horn off and the stench of our sins and forgiveness and asking God the forgiveness as opposed to facing it. And let us come face to face, as even David did, with our wrongdoing and our wicked nature and go back to God and say, God, this is what I've done. And once we be true before the Lord our God, because guess what? He already knows it. He's already seen it. He already knows when it happened and things. And so all we have to do is go back to the living God and say, God, I have done X, Y, and Z and things. And it's not if I did it, I did it. And I ask you to forgive me and to wash me and to cleanse me and remove this thing out of my life. And let's look at what David said. David went on to say, my sins is ever before thee. David said, my sins are fully in front of me. Does that mean that he did not realize his transgression before Nathan confronted him? No, it means that he had hidden his sin from his own sight, hoping that God and everyone else would not notice. But now through the prophet, God has set David's sin in full view, and his only choice was to deal with it. And so here, when we begin to look at that psalm, it stems out of a place where Nathan the prophet had came to David and began to deal with David in regards of his transgression and his sin. And so if a person witnessed a gruesome situation and things, they must confess and things and confess even more so to the Lord our God. David said, I sinned against you, God, and he wanted to get it right. Now, against thee and thee only, David began to say, have I sinned? Now, David's focus on the affront, his sin was to God and not to anyone else. Clearly, David was in private conversation with God. At that moment, he had focused his entire attention on the Almighty, and he was not at that time concerned about how his sin had assaulted or affected other people. It was not that he was unconcerned about others, but his entire focus of that moment was upon God. It was as if he were saying, God, I am not here because of what this has done to my reputation or my position as a king. I am only concerned over the offense that I caused you, God, what I've done against you, Lord, and that's why I'm getting it right with you, Lord. Now, most individuals, they desire forgiveness so God will not punish them. A person who spots and things or recognize that they're being caught, then they're able to begin to want to get it right. But David recognized that, no, and things. I not only did Nathan tell me about this thing, but I'm going to go further and a little deeper, but because of the fact that I did it against you, God, I must get this thing right. Now let's look at his personal petition before the Lord our God and things. And we too must put our petition before the Lord our God when God shows us and reveal unto us the things perhaps that we may done and things. We must recognize that and things. We must recognize that God is calling to us, that he wants us to be right before him. Now let's look. Now people have an altered experience that do not alter their lives because they think God's work in their life is like remodeling by adding new furniture or decoration. We need more than remodeling. We need him to overhaul our passion, overhaul our desires and our motives. In essence, we're saying, God, you know, we don't want just a surface repentance, but we want you to get into our motive and wash our motives, wash our passion, wash our desires, and wash our inclinations, God, and our tendencies and our behavior. Wash it with hyssop and make us pure and clean all over again. It's only when we are broken down and condemned, and only Jesus can perform the needed transformation and things. And I would like to believe that it's once God brings us into the knowledge of it, that we give us an opportunity to go to God and say, God, you know, this is what I did and things. And not only forgive me, but Lord, cleanse me, wash me, make me new all over again. A stronger life sometimes begins right at rock bottom. Now, Jesus said the wise man is like a man which built his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came and arose, the stream beat it vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. And Luke chapter 6, verse 48, and things and such as us, we want to find ourselves upon the rock as we're digging deeper down in our own soul and think, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so when we stand before the Lord and open our hearts and mind before the Lord, we are going deeper. We are setting our anchor deeper down in the Lord and things, because now we're allowing God to go down in the recesses of our mind. This kind of deep digging occurs through genuine, heartfelt repentance. In our days, many people do not dig deep to begin a relationship with God. They want to remodel their own life and things like that, as opposed to saying, God, you can just renovate, you can tear up my life, and you can rebuild my life to the life that you want to create and things. And sometimes in our lives, we wonder why so much destruction or so many things that are happening. Maybe God said, well, this is what I'm doing. I'm tearing down the old that I might erect a brand new individual in your life and things. And as we see God fixing it, God working in our lives, let us be patient as God starts in our lives all over and starting his transformation work down in our lives, so that we can be the men and women of God that he called us to be. And I love what David said. He said, purge me, God, and wash me. And so the priest used hyssop to sprinkle blood. According to some commentator, the lepers were cleansed of their disease, would come to the priest and offer a pigeon to God. The priest would catch the blood of that bird in the bowl and use hyssop twain to sprinkle the blood on the leopard. Obviously, this did not do anything practical for cleansing. The point of the event is that if the priest is purging the leper with hyssop, then he's ready. Already is clean. This rite was performed to show that the cleansing has already been taking place. Now, David was not only asking God to scrub him, he was asking that God declare his forgiveness and recover official. And so he wanted to be recovered officially. He wanted to be purged and washed before the Lord our God. And we as the children of God, when we come to God and fasting and praying and asking and calling on the name of the Lord and asking him to purge us and wash us, guess what? He will, through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, begin to wash us and cleanse us of all of our sins and unrighteousness, because we have confessed it before him. Not only have we confessed it before him, but also when we're reading the word of God, that word is purging us and that word is cleansing us. We should not go begging God forever for forgiveness. We need to come to closure on the process by accepting God's forgiveness and letting him declare us clean. This dilemma with the law keeper in Jesus' days was not that they did not want people being forgiveness of sin and to their hanging ups and all of those other things, but they was declaring lepers clean. Now, the priest could see that the leper's disease was gone and pronounce them clean. However, who can declare absolution of guilt? Who was this Jesus, in their opinion, who could assess whether a person was free of a blotch of sinfulness in their life? And it took Jesus' cleansing of his blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that blood that makes me white as snow. Now, let's look further. David knew God could pronounce him clean because it was God who cleansed. The priest could look at the skin and give his official recognition that a man was cured, but Jesus can see more than skin deep and declare us clean in our very own soul, all the way down to our soul, our bones and marrow. He can see the cleansing of our heart. And so David, he not only stopped there, and I love how David, he would really do that Psalms 51, and we can pray that. David, he began to say, Lord, create, not only wash me, Lord, and purge me and things, but he began to say, Lord, I want you now to create in me a clean heart. Now, joy comes from after forgiveness. The big dilemma with unrepentant humanity is that they go on in life trying to find joy without being cleansed of guilt. They want to laugh, but all their laughter carries a hollow echo of an unresolved life issue. They try many things in their effort to attain joy and gladness, like pouring good milk in with sour milk, trying to discover happiness without forgiveness of sin would never sweeten one's life. Whether we must dump and spoil the spoiled content of our soul and sinful lives at the cross of Christ. And then God can fill us with the milk of goodness and gladness, with the lightness and happiness a person experiences who has found the freedom of forgiveness. And so this is what David was saying. David was saying, look, I need more than just the forgiveness right now. I need a purging and cleansing down to the very own essence of my soul and my being. Now, he said not only did he want him to clean him and wash him, he said, cast me not away. David cried out, hide thy face far from my sins. Psalm 51 and 9. Our sins are permanent blots on our record, but God can purge the record. Perhaps he will not undo the consequences, but the record will be clean. Now, beyond the aspect of the eternal record, the human hearts need the work of redemption on a personal level. David asked God to step into the chaos and disorder of his life and cleanse his heart. And then we catch a glimpse and a hint of the fear in David's voice when we hear him pray, cast me not away from thy presence. Just the thought of living without God scared David. But his fear was healthy, and that was a healthy fear. It was not a terror of punishment, but a love-based fear of losing his special relationship with God. And God gave me a word to preach on even last Sunday unto the precious saints of God. And he said, contain and retain the glory. And we don't want to gamble the glory of God that we exude in and through our life, but we want to maintain it and keep it in our life, the presence of God. Lord, don't take your presence away from me or my relationship with you, my ability to ascend into heaven, to cry out to you, to call on your wonderful name. Don't take that from me, Lord. And that's what David was saying here. Lord, don't take that from me and things. I want my relationship with you. And not only that, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David did not have the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit the way that we do as believers in the New Testament receive the Holy Ghost. His anointing was for ministry. The Spirit came upon him at the special time for a special work, but the Spirit of God did not fill him as it filled the believers. If David was afraid to lose his empowerment from God, how much more should we panic at the thought of losing God's presence? We should take the advice of the scripture and avoid quenching or grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And we'll see that over in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, Ephesians 4 and 3. And then he goes on to say David was crying out to God. He said, not only there, Lord, but restore and uphold me. Many believers today struggle with a lack of joy in their lives because they continue to struggle with their past sin that God has already forgiven them of. Believers must learn to truly and fully trust in the full forgiveness of God and also to forgive themselves. Not only was it amazing that God forgave David's sin, but equally as memorable, David forgave himself and recovered his relationship with God. This is a major challenge. Too many people go through life holding their past sin against themselves when God has already forgiven them. What a trophy of redemption to see individuals move past their sin and proceed into the future with Jesus Christ. And that is so powerful, child of God. You need to forgive yourself. You need to fully accept the pardon of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he had pardoned you of your sin, and go on and live your life to the fullness in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The scripture said, in Jesus Christ, in him whom I live and move and have my being. And so he is saying now you can step out of that old lifestyle and step into Jesus Christ and live and move and have your being in the newness of life, because now you're living it to the fullest in Jesus Christ, not in the old man. And that's what the enemy wants you to do, is to think in your mind that you're living your life now out of the old man. But no, you're not. You're living it out of the newness of life, the law of life in Christ Jesus. And you have to speak it in the airway and say, I now live my life in the law of life in Christ Jesus. And you're no longer living out your life through the law of sin. And so you got to speak it into the airway. You got to affirm it in your life, because that's what Jesus Christ had did for you as an individual. And the more you walk in it, the more you step in it, the more you'll see our Lord and Savior Jesus do a great and a mighty work in and through your life. God wants us to be able to rejoice. Yet many people sit through worship service wishing that they could feel the joy of God that they see demonstrated in their brothers and sisters. Finally, they get the breakthrough at the end of the church when at the altar they repent of their sins before God. Why did not that believer visit the altar of repentance before the church started? The whole service could have been different with the believer experienced the full benefit of joy, gladness, worshiping, and singing and praising God. And so as you proceed into your future with Jesus, every day, God, I wake up this day, Lord, and I proceed forward in my life with you, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and watch him greatly do it. And let's look at another aspect that David said. David went on to say, Lord, deliver me. He desperately desired the deliverance from God, from his sin. David constantly and certainly recognized his need for deliverance. And I think that that's where, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, that's when our true breakthrough comes, when we are acknowledging that we need a breakthrough from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, consider the epic proportion of David's sins. The Old Testament law said that the man who stole another man's wife must die. It's also stated that death would be the penalty of one who took the life of an individual. And David had committed both of these offenses before the Lord our God. And consequently, he pled for his life, seeking for God to deliver him from his guilt, despite the fact that he deserved punishment. And so he cried out to God. And so God heard his cry and had mercy upon him. And so as we as children of God, we cry out to the Lord that he may have mercy. And so every individual needs to be honest with themselves and recognize their sin have involved and affected the lives of others as well as himself. And David's sin polluted Bathsheba's family, Uriah's family, and he even lost his life because of David's sin. David's descendants and his whole kingdom was affected by his sin. He could never give life back to the person that he had taken. He could not undo the lies that he had told. Apology would not restore the purity to the people he had violated, even physically and even mentally. He could not restore faith to the person who stumbled because of his hypocrisy. Likewise, we must be honest with ourselves, with God, about crimes that we have done, or even whatever sins that we have done. The damage has plunged deep into our soul, and it awakes, swamps others who involve. We must be willing to do whatever is possible to bring restitution. But most of all, we need the deliverance, even as David needed in his life as well. He opened my mouth and my lips. And after we have come out of the pit, our song of joy and scripture reading will be much greater and deeper than ever before, because we realize that we're not singing out of just the depths, but out of the recess in the depths of our souls do we cry out to God for his blessings that he has bestowed unto him, and we can enter into his gates with thanksgiving because of what he has done and things. We will not only just skim through the Psalms because it's just a part of our daily reading, but we will read and sing with respond of joy as God has touched us in the deepest areas of our heart. And see, David knew God was not interested in the rituals when he said, "For thou desired not sacrifice." David knew that God didn't want just a sacrifice. He wanted the heart of his. But to God's repentance was more than just a sacrifice. God was not wanting just the image of repentance, but he desired a change in the heart of the individual. Not only a change in of heart, but a change of behavior, a change of inclination, a change of desire, a change of behavior, and a change of passion. Now, we must recognize that as he cried out to them, God heard him, and his desire was that of sincerity and brokenness. And God said, out of a broken and a contrite heart, I will not despise them. And then he desired a real change that began with genuine repentance. And so, children of God, just like it was for David's story and things, even after we repented at the altar, when God brings things to our hearts and our mind and things, and we find ourselves stumbling over those same things, we can go back to God and begin to say, God, I need you, Lord. Not only don't take this just to take it away from me, God, but I need you to purge it out of me. I need you not only for you to purge it out of me, but I need you to wash me and cleanse me thoroughly and clean that I may be the man and the woman of God that you want me to be. And when you find yourself and God revealing things to you again, just go back to him and ask him, you know, Lord, purge me with his heart. Wash me, cleanse me, create a new heart in me, Lord. Create a new desire in me. Replace it with a new desire now, God. Who can gloat over their own strength when you read David's story of his human weakness and failure? This man led in worship and praise and economic prosperity in the battle, and even in the battle, he won great victory. He was a teacher of truth and a writer of scripture. Few can compare to such an effective life. With this in perspective, we must notice that even the seemingly greatest and strongest among us can fall prey to their fleshly human nature. In all of our successes, we must take heed that we do not fall into the same calamity of carnality and things. We must ask God to help us on a daily basis. By studying this story, we also recognize that we need God whose forgiveness is powerful. We just as a few has reached the height of David's success, few has visited the lowliness of his failure. We also learn from David's life that God can rescue and deliver anyone. If a man like David can fall as low and still receive God's work of restoration, then any one of us can find hope, strength, and restoration through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so now, child of God, as we looked at the lesson of a repentance man, and this go for a repentance man or woman, let us put it into practicality and saying, God, we come to you and we say, Father, we give you permission, Lord, to wash us, to cleanse us, to purge us, to take out of us the things that don't need to be there, whether it's our desires, purge it and cleanse it. Our passion, purge it and cleanse it. Our inclination, purge it and cleanse it. Our conscience and our thoughts, Lord, purge and cleanse it. Our heart, create in us a clean heart. Renew within us a right spirit, God, the things that is not of you, Lord. Father, let our hands not touch the things that are unclean, but let us walk upright and holy before you. That because, Lord, we want to be a man and woman of God that you have called us out to be. And, Lord, I declare and I decree a cleansing flow to hit our spirit and our heart, mind, and soul. Father, even right now, as a point of contact, God, that you will purge us, cleanse us from every habit, from every, Lord, inclination or thought. Father, anything that's trying to anchor our soul to sin or anything that is not like you, God, I pray, oh God, that you break every band, destroy every yoke, undo every heavy burden. Let your children walk in the newness of life as we have it in Christ Jesus, because outside of you, Lord, we are nothing and can't do it in and of ourselves. We acknowledge you as our Savior. We acknowledge you, God, as our deliverer, God, and we thank you, Lord. Father, purge and cleanse and redeem, Father, your precious children in the name of Jesus. And we claim it and we say amen. So be it. Thank you, because the work has begun. Thank you for the finished work on the cross of Calvary. You have whom the Son has made free. It's free indeed. And God, we are free, walking in the newness of life. Life, and that more abundantly, as we decree and declare over your people. And Father, we thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Child of God, I know that you were blessed. And if you prayed that prayer and you was in agreement with Pastor as we prayed that prayer, Dr. Orm, I declare over you clean in the name of Jesus, your heart clean, your thought clean, your passion clean, your desire clean, your inclinations clean. Father, her psychological and his psychological man clean, conscience clean, in the name of Jesus, because we apply the blood of Yeshua, which is Jesus Christ, our righteousness over their life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen and amen. So, child of God, go on, and you go to your mirror in your bathroom, and you declare, I am clean by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen and amen. And you get up and declare that every day, three times a day. Watch God do a profound, miraculous miracle in and through your life. And I'll come to tell you, too, if you have not been baptized in that wonderful name, the name of Jesus, when they applied the blood of Jesus to your life, I encourage you to do it. And things is a part of the plan of deliverance, of the plan of salvation. Not only that, but also being infilled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, which is the Ruah, the breath of God, breathe in your nostril. Watch God bless you, child of God. And I'm excited about what he's going to do. Give me your testimony. Send it in. Put it on the Facebook. Put it on and inbox me and share with me what God has done in and through your life. Send me an email at HelenOrme, O-R-M-E, at MSN.com. And things, leave a message on the Blog Talk. I want to hear what God has done to you in and through your life, because I believe that there was a miracle that hit your house and your spirit on today. And when I say your house, I mean your spiritual house, that God has hit your house on today. So, child of God, go on and enjoy and go be led by peace and go on forward in joy, that God will bless you as never before. And in my conclusion, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one miracle away from your one question, away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask.